Thank you, Charlie.
Good morning. Well, Philip just about did my whole sermon in the introduction on the table, so I can sit back down. Have you ever heard the term, "'Tis the reason for the season"? When speaking of the holiday or Christmas season, a lot of people say these things like, "'Tis the reason for the season," and we kind of tend to want to follow along with that. I've heard some very negative sermons regarding whether or not Christians should even participate in Christmas festivities. After all, as Philip mentioned, we know that Christ was not likely born on December 25th. We also have no command whatsoever to celebrate the birth of Christ, nor do we have an example of anyone else celebrating the birth of Christ in the first century. In fact, if you look at the apostles and all of the teachers in the biblical times, none of the apostles' birth is ever mentioned because it was not significant. The only reason that Jesus' birth was mentioned was because it was significant to foretell prophecy, to fulfill prophecy. So Jesus' birth was brought into the picture because it was prophetic. That's why we're given that information, not to say, per se, to celebrate it. But I will say this, for about 11 and a half months of the year, many, many people couldn't care less about Christ's birth, about Christ's life, or His death, or His resurrection. For the sake of God, I'm thankful for the one thing, perhaps more than anything else, and that is the fact that people are aware of Christ and their mind is open to Christ at this time of year more than any other time. Period. Now, there are two kinds of people in this world. Those who love Christmas music and those who hate Christmas music. And you may say, well, you're wrong, preacher, because I don't love it and I don't hate it. Well, let me tell you, if you're on the fence on this one, ride in the car with my wife for 4 hours, and when you're done, you will love Christmas music or you will hate Christmas music. One or the other. I've never met anyone who loves Christmas music more than my wife. She will listen to it if they started playing it in August, and she will listen to it if they played it year-round. I've literally gotten in the car with her, and there's Christmas music playing in August. I'm like, surely they're not playing this. And it's, no, I got a CD. I'll admit, I'm not a really big fan. However, when I'm with her, from the time that they start playing it until they stop, that's what we listen to. There's a song many of you have probably heard. In fact, I've used it as an illustration before, and they only play it usually around Christmas time, although it's really it's not really a Christmas song, but rather it's just a song about Jesus. I believe this song should be played year-round. It's called "Mary, Did You Know?" Most of you have probably heard the song. "Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? His child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect Lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am." What a powerful set of lyrics. The guy that wrote it said, "I never expected it to go as far as it went. I never expected it to be anything more than just a song." In the book of Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, it says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in age. Now, the reason I bring up this is because it will play an important role as we in how much Mary does in fact know. What happens to this couple is the angel Gabriel visits them and tells them that they are going to have a child. Luke chapter 1 verses 13 through 18. And when Zechariah is questioned, the angel saying, "How will I know this? We're both stricken in age. How can this be?" The angel took away his voice that he wasn't able to speak from that time until shortly after the birth of the child. Luke chapter 1 verses 19 and 20. Well, Elizabeth did conceive and was in the sixth month of her pregnancy when the angel Gabriel visited someone else, and that's Luke chapter 1 and verse 26 and following. It says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." She surely knows a lot now, doesn't she? Mary did know a lot. She may not have known anything up until that day, but when that angel came to visit her, he gave her a lot of information. You think about moms out there, what it was like when you were found out that you were going to have a child for the first time. Just think of all the information this woman's having to process right now. She's going to have a son, not only a son, not just any son. The angel tells her she will call his name Jesus. Does she know son? He will someday walk on water? No, but she knows he shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. Lord God shall give him the throne of his father, as it was mentioned. He shall reign over that kingdom forever. The fulfillment of prophecy from Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Mary may not know at this point that her baby boy would someday walk on water, but this angel is painting a pretty clear picture that her baby would someday save her sons and daughters, and the sons and daughters of all the land. "Unto thee this day a Savior is born." They were expecting a Messiah. All throughout the ages they were waiting for this Messiah. The Messiah is coming. Prophecy had been told already. There was a Messiah coming. And now this woman was visited by an angel in the night and said, "You're the chosen vessel. God has chosen you to be the one to bring the Messiah into the world." Mary asked this angel, "How can this be, since she's never been with a man?" Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." I think that after that statement, she's pretty much aware of the fact that when she kisses the face of that baby boy, she's kissing the face of God. We're not talking about an old lady or even a middle-aged woman. This is a young lady, probably in her late teens or early 20s at most. That's a whole lot to take in for someone that age. The angel then tells her that her cousin Elizabeth, who is old, has conceived and is in her sixth month. And she says in verse 37, "For with God," he tells her, "with God nothing is impossible." When someone asks you to do something for the Lord, what do you say? When you're asked to sing, you're asked to pray, You're asked to lead on a table, or you're asked to do something for God. What is your answer? How do we answer when someone comes to us and says, hey, we're going to go and do some door knocking. Can y'all be there? When is it? I'm busy. I've got an appointment that day. I haven't told you the day yet. How do we answer when we're asked to do something for God? When the angel told Mary these things, she didn't say, can you find someone else? Can't you find someone else? Even Moses did that. I can't speak. Can you get someone else to do it? No. She says in verse 38, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You've been promised to marry. You see how excited. Look at Corinne and Dylan. They excited right now? They just got engaged. They're excited. They're happy about this. Can you imagine how somebody came to her and told her, there's something, your life is fixing to take a different direction. What's this going to do to my marriage? Wait a minute, I've already got plans. You can't do this to me. Can you pick someone else? Be it unto me according to thy will. According to thy word. Mary submits herself to the angel and wastes no time going up to see her cousin Elizabeth, who she just found out was also with child. This must have been great news, because we know that Elizabeth and Zacharias couldn't have any children from the earlier chapter. And then we found out that she hid it. She didn't tell anyone for the first 5 months. Now, if we drop down to verse 41, we see their reunion. Mary comes into the house and greets Elizabeth. And just customary, you think about when, maybe now's a good time to think about it, as we probably have had family in and out of our houses, or we've been in and out of family's houses, and the greetings that we saw. We haven't seen somebody in 4, 5, 6 months, and we hug them and we greet them. She hasn't seen Elizabeth in some time. And she comes into the house and she greets her, and it says, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And verse 43 is the real clincher. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? She tells Mary, what is it that the mother of my Lord, is coming to me? Why? Before she tells Elizabeth anything about her conception or what the angel said to her, Elizabeth knows this because she was overpowered by the Holy Spirit, overcome with the Holy Spirit. Did she know that the baby within her womb would give sight to a blind man? By what we know, she did not know. Did she know he could calm the storm with his hand? Knowing what she knew, she could have known that he would, or could have assumed that he would. We do see some things when we think about what did she know, because she couldn't possibly have known these things. But we think about when Jesus was at the wedding feast and they ran out of the wine, and she told him, do it. Do what you need to do. Or she basically put something before him, called him out before his time, so to speak, because she knew he could do it. But this was after she had probably already seen some things. At this point, what does she know? Imagine how she must have felt as her people would have looked forward to the coming Messiah for hundreds of years. They pray to God Almighty, who has spoken to them by the prophets, Hebrews 1 and verse 1. Now the angel of the Lord speaks directly to her and tells her that she is going to be the chosen vessel to usher in the Savior into the world. What did she do? She praised God. Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. Luke chapter 1 verse 46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, holy is his name. Mary knew her life would never be the same. Whatever plans she had, they would be forever altered. As we move through the text, we find Mary left around the time Elizabeth gave birth to a son who would come to be known as John the Baptizer. Her life would be forever changed. What would her children be like had they not been raised with a big brother who was the Savior? What would her husband be like? We know he was a just man. I believe that he came into the picture as much as Mary did when God chose Mary to be that chosen vessel. Joseph played a part in that too. She was probably about 3 months pregnant. We figure she stayed with Elizabeth until about the time that John was born, or somewhere around that time. We don't get much more about her until it talks about Joseph going up into Judea, Luke chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. Luke chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, it says that he went up to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Joseph heard the news that his espoused wife was with child, and he contemplated on how he should go about handling this in a way so as to not to bring her to any undue shame. How do we look at things today? Let the world know. Tell everybody. Let them know that blatant sin that they're caught up in. Joseph didn't know what was going on. As far as he could tell, he assumed that something bad had happened. Something evil had happened. She had done something that was not good. But he still contemplated, even if she had done something not honorable, I'm going to do the honorable thing and I'm going to put her away in a private manner to where it won't bring undue reproach upon her or her family. But the angel of the Lord appeared to him and explained things to him in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There's not a lot of information about Jesus as a boy. In fact, there's only a little information about him and his mother in the scriptures. However, Jesus, the highly anticipated Messiah, came into the world, born of a virgin, and it really wasn't until his ministry that we read much about him at all. The coming into the world, born of a virgin, as I mentioned, was prophecy. So that when the Messiah got here, they couldn't say, "Here's the Messiah." How many times did they say, "Look, it's the Messiah, he's here"? And they say, "Wait a minute, where was he born? How was he born? That ain't the Messiah." But when they questioned Jesus, everything was there. The prophecy. He couldn't have faked it. He couldn't have faked something that was prophesied hundreds of years before. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 25. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 25. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side. While he sent the multitude away, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the water. Jesus did walk on water, as the verse from the song says, but we have no record of Mary ever knowing anything about it. Did she know that her baby boy would save their sons and daughters? I don't know, but Joseph certainly did know. Matthew chapter 9, verses 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 9, verse 28 through 30. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, and saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." Jesus did return sight unto the blind. We have no record of Mary ever knowing it. We do not know. Mark 4:39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The people in that boat were astonished at that. Who can do such a thing? Speak and the winds obey him. Have you ever sat through a difficult storm? You ever been in a hailstorm and you're stuck in your vehicle? You ever be somewhere where even in your house and the wind is blowing and there's pieces being thrown off? I remember looking out window at night one time. There was a terrible, terrible storm. The electricity had been off for a couple of hours, and the wind was blowing. The rain was beating down on the house, and the wind was blowing. And I would look out, and you couldn't see anything until the lightning would light up. When the lightning would light up, I could see tree limbs in the driveway, a birdhouse with a metal pole that I had was just bent over in half and laying on the ground. Everything was destroyed outside. We were safe and sound in our house. We lost a few shingles. Didn't break any windows or anything. We were fine. Oh, wow. I could sit there and literally look at the storm. You ever been in a storm where you didn't know if you were going to make it through? Talk to Josie about storms. Talk to Jesse even better. She lived through a tornado, woke up in the... Her mom came and found her in the bathtub. It was the only thing left. The whole house was gone around her. She lived through it. That's a storm. These guys were in the storm. Jesus calmed the storm instantly. Our houses are strong. The people of Jesus' day would often have to spend the night out away from their homes. They didn't have the travel luxuries that we have. Even the night that Jesus was born, they were forced to stay in a stable. Did Mary know that Jesus would calm the storms? I don't know. I'm not sure. But he sure did do it. And right from the middle of the boat at that. Mark chapter 7, verse 32 through 35. Mark chapter 7, verse 32 through 35. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to the heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is to be opened. And straightway his ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loosed and he spake plain. Did Mary know that Jesus would make the deaf to hear? Again, we do not know. We have no record that she ever would or that she was privy to this information. But he did. He did. He made the deaf to hear. When Jesus' friend Lazarus died and he heard the news, but he didn't arrive for some days later, when he got to the grave site, he said a prayer to the Father, John chapter 11, verse 43 and 44. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Jesus raised the dead. All of these things Jesus did, and we really don't know if Mary ever knew about them or not. The song is, Mary, did you know? If you consider that phrase right there, when Jesus grew up and Jesus entered into his ministry, and we know his mother was there the whole time. She was even there at the bottom of the foot of the cross. She was there. And so if you consider the question, Mary, did you know? You must consider when was the question have been asked. If the question was asked there at the foot of the cross, Mary, did you know? In tears she would have said, I never knew these things. But he did these things. And for that they crucified him. She probably heard all of those things, even if she wasn't around when they happened. Luke chapter 4 and verse 37 says, and the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Everyone knew of the great things that Jesus did. When Jesus was a baby and Mary was raising him, as she was holding him and nursing him, did she know that one day he would do those great things? No, we never know. I'll never forget, and I probably mentioned it before. I was out on the front porch of the church building. Dustin was about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months old, and I'm standing there holding him, one of the very, very, very rare occasions that I got to hold him at church. I think there was a ladies' meeting, and so that's the only reason I got to hold him. But I was standing out there, and I was holding this baby, and he was kicking around, and his feet were sticking out and kicked out of the blanket. And Wayne Barber came up, and he put his hand on his feet, and he smiled, and he looked at me, and he said, I can remember when Susie was that small. Susie was my age, his daughter. He said, I remember when Susie was that small. And I remember looking at those little feet and saying, girl, Where are these feet going to take you? I wonder if Mary looked at the feet of Jesus and said, I wonder where these feet are going to take you. Even though she knew that he was the Son of God, he was the coming Messiah, no one really anticipated that those feet would ever be nailed to a cross. They never anticipated that he would be put to death. Jesus was famous for many wondrous things he did and the miracles he performed, Matthew 4:24. But the main thing Jesus is remembered for, in fact, he even told his disciples to remember him for his atoning death. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The world celebrates a random day, chosen by man as the day the Savior was born. Well, we got to throw some day on it. We might as well. No, we don't. We really don't. We even sing a song, Christ the Savior is born. Whatever this season stirs within you to draw you closer together, that's great. And I hope it continues to do so. But what I really hope that you can focus on is celebrating when Jesus was raised from the dead, for it was then that he conquered death and became Savior of the world. If you have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he came into this world born of a virgin. He fulfilled all prophecy and did all those things that Mary didn't know or did know about, so that we too could have a hope in heaven with him. If you have not heard the word of God, Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must believe. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must repent. Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We must confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32-33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. We must put Christ on in baptism. This is where we come into contact with the blood of Christ. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Finally, we must remain faithful unto death. Matthew 24, verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. If you have any need, won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected?